Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, where every week our crew of intrepid dipshits blather on about all manner of gaming topics, as if they actually have something useful to say. Really, it is just the worst when it comes to podcasts, but here's an idea. Turn it into a drinking game. Every time they say something stupid, take a drink. But seriously, don't do that. Your liver will thank you.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
And first things first, I'd like to apologize for last week's show. That was just a sad effort, and we can do better.
We can?
Yes, I can throw in a whole lot more innuendos.
Well,
we are slipping on our innuendo game. We had the perfect opportunity for it with a Valentine's Day, and we had a few out there. There were some, you know, decent laughs, but otherwise, yeah. I think I more confused my wife than, you know, made her. I don't believe I made her blush once. Not once.
Yeah, but you've been married for how long?
Yes, but by God, we can do better.
The difficulty keeps climbing every year.
Indeed, indeed. But she should also, you know, give me a pity blush here or there.
So you want a bodily reaction to happen just because she wants it to. Okay.
Well, that's how I get sex.
Power of pity.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Oh, God. Point is, we can do better.
All right,
and so that means we're going to have a boring show tonight. And what are we going to talk about today?
I have no idea.
You're no help whatsoever. The notes are right in front of you.
Yes, but I can't make this easy.
You know, your title is co-host, right?
Uh-huh. It should be antagonist.
Do you wish me to change things? I can do that.
Oh, come on.
And then we can just make Rylea, if she comes back, as foil. Anyway, besides the point, we're going to talk role-playing games today. Yay! Last month, as I recall, we dove deep, or at least beyond the surface level, of Warhammer Fantasy Role-Playing.
Yes.
And so we were talking about maybe doing a cyberpunk game or something this month. And I was like, I'll come up with something. And I did. An entire genre of games. Specifically, superhero games.
Well, that explains why you're doing the whole genre and not just one game in particular.
Exactly. Because I'm sitting here, I've got several. And you could argue that some of the other games I have are, they're not specifically superhero games, but they are. I mean,
like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Well, you know, I'm going to argue that that is a superhero game. Because, you know, it's comics based and that sort of thing. They've mutants. Fine. I'll give them that. But I was meaning more like The Whispering Vault, which it's a supernatural game, sure. But that doesn't mean they're not superheroes. They're superpowered beings that fight against evil concepts that are alive. That's kind of an obscure superhero concept.
Well, yeah, now you're getting to the Doctor Strange realm of superheroes.
And yet still superhero. So, but I was like, you know what? That's pushing it a little too far. For the most part, there's not that many, especially not established, superhero games. So I was like, I'll go into the wall of games and break out a few to discuss them. Now, one game we've had for years is one of the very first non-D&D games you and I ever played.
Yep.
Because you bought it, and somehow I ended up with it. It's not very good. It's Marvel Super Heroes, the original boxed set.
But then again, they also thought, hey, if we just, you know, slap the Marvel name on it, everybody will buy it.
Yeah.
Because it's Marvel.
But I'm sure Marvel, who was also desperate for money at the time, were like, hey, this D&D thing, it's taken off. Let's jump in on that bandwagon. Meanwhile, TSR went, hey, we just got the rights to Marvel superheroes for real cheap. Let's do something completely different than D&D.
Yeah.
And it's a workable game. It can be played. But when you roll a die and look on a chart, all I see is chill. Because when you're cross-referencing charts to go, did I hit? I'm not sure. And if I did, do I do damage? Or I, you know what? Screw it. Let's play D&D.
Yeah.
That just was a bad idea all around.
Well, and you got to remember, D&D had its own level of charts and odd math and such, you know, THACO.
Sure. But when you roll a die, you generally go, okay, bam, you hit or you didn't. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to go and look on a chart and cross-reference this and, you know, divide by pi to figure it out. Don't overthink the dang thing to make it different. They had a system that worked. They could. Just an aside, TSR, if they had wanted to survive, they did this later on. They made their own generic system that was usable for various genres. It's a multi-genre system. If they had done that with the original D&D and just basically put settings using the same system or roughly the same system, used it, you know, for different genres, TSR would have never gone under. Wizards of the Coast would never have been able to go from a small company that bought the rights to become this huge company, bought out by Hasbro to be even a bigger company. The whole landscape of gaming, of tabletop role-playing, would have been completely different. All because of Marvel's superheroes.
I'm sure there's more to it than that, but...
Oh, yeah. Mismanagement, bankruptcies, things like that. Sure, but that's not the point. I decided to break out a couple of my superhero games. One is a D20 system, which is a basically based off of a D&D 3.5, that mm-hmm. system. And that's my Silver Age Sentinels, the D20 version.
Yes, I have a copy too.
That is an excellent game. We'll get into that a little bit more. But another one I had, because originally I was saying we should talk about DC Heroes, which is quite possibly the best superhero role-playing game ever made. I don't have DC Heroes. But I do have The Blood of Heroes, which is basically DC Heroes without the DC license. And, oh my god, this is a good game. This has some of the best character designing rules. It is deep without being the most complex thing ever. It's pretty easy to grasp if you're at least an intermediate role player.
Right.
And, you know, oh, it's just chock full of abilities. And basically it leaves out ideas on adventures and whatnot. There's a whole section on subplots. And that's fine. Creating a subplot, that sort of thing. But, and it's got, of course, a built-in group, you know, some, you know, things like that, some NPCs and whatnot. That's great. It's got some pre-built stuff for you to work with. But the majority of this book is abilities and how to do stuff. And that's great because you need to be able to, it's a superhero game. Crack open a comic book. You know how comics work. You've got all the subplots and stories right there to work from. You know how, if you read comics at all, you get it. Hell, if you watch the Marvel movies, you get it. If you watch the DC movies, well, you have some bad ideas, but you get it. You don't need all that fluff detail. Sure, it helps having some pre-built NPCs to work off of and villains and whatnot. That's great. Gives you a starting point. And this has that. But Moreover, this just focuses on huge amounts of detail on how the section on game mastering is super thin here. Doesn't need to be a lot because it assumes, this game assumes you know what you're doing for the most part. It gives you, how do you run this game?
Right.
For the most part. But this covers magic and all manner of different superpowers. And if you have a concept in mind for a superhero, you'll be able to make it in this game. It's just that simple.
Well, that's good.
But it does have one little problem. The action table. What was I just saying about Marvel superheroes? Roll a dice, look at a chart, divide by pi, cross-reference, and hope that, you know, after 10 minutes you figure out, hey, you managed to hit that guy. And I'm sure I'm remembering it badly, but no, I hated those charts. The action table is a chart. And you basically, you roll your dice, you compare to the chart, basically, and you've got your action values that you have to cross-reference against the effect value, the opposing value, and the resistance value. Those are the four factors you have to take into mind.
Right.
But in this case, it actually kind of works.
Well, considering you said it was one of the best ones out there, well, it'd have to work.
Yes. I mean, it's got kind of, you know, a critical failure already baked in. Let's see, you're rolling the dice. Each of the dice have 10 sides and referred to as a D10. When the rules instruct a player to roll 2D10, he rolls both dice, adds the numbers together. A side with a 0 on it is considered a 10, not a 0, blah, blah, blah. Therefore, a roll of double zeros would read as 20, and a 0 and a 4 would be 14, and so forth. If doubles are rolled on the dice, the player has the option of rolling the dice again and adding the result to the original roll. And you can keep re-rolling and re-rolling as long as you keep rolling doubles.
Right.
Which is scary. But for a superhero game, that works. In most other games, that would be so overpowered it's not funny. The only exception to this doubles rule is when a roll of double ones occurs. Whenever double ones are rolled, whatever action the character was attempting automatically fails, which is a reason to stop re-rolling constantly. If you're on a roll and you're rolling two sixes, two sixes, two sixes, two sixes, and you're just adding and scaling, there's always that chance. It's a small percentage chance, but there is a chance that you could roll two ones and all that work, whip, gone. So, kind of important. Keep that in mind.
Oh, and, yeah.
But the thing is, you come up with your rolls, and you look down the column, and then the rows, you compare, and you basically have to, it's just, I'd have to read this over several times before actually figuring it out again, but I've only played Blood of Heroes a few times.
Right.
I went and bought my own copy so that I could make a character. I've never run it, but every single game that we played of this, when I was in that group, we had fun, except for one problem, and that was one of the other players had a lot of time to pore over the rules, and when he made his character, he knew the one ability to beat all abilities. And that was Speedster. He made a character that was basically the Flash. But if you do that, you get your abilities. That speed ability makes you almost impossible to hit. Okay. And makes it almost assured that you will hit your target. Because they can't dodge you. So you are a superpowered murder machine. You cannot be stopped.
Except by another speedster.
And we didn't have any. Why would we want to go against our own team anyway? But the GM was that guy's boyfriend. So, yeah. To say that he was not put in check would be putting it mildly. So the rest of us had, I had a mad scientist type character, and I believe there was a more Batman-like character, and the speedster. So there wasn't a whole lot being done to, you know, stop this other character at all. And we would just basically stand by and watch while he takes out all the enemies. Okay. Can we play now? Yeah. So that was a bit of a downside to Blood of Heroes. But as I recall, huge amounts of fun. But then again, most superhero games can be made fun.
Almost any game could be made to be fun.
Sure. Sure. Now, one game I did run rather extensively, we had a continuing group for this for like 6 months or so before it finally broke down, and that was Silver Age Sentinels, the D20 version.
Oh, yeah.
Which was funny because everybody else in the group, they went out and they wanted to buy their own copies of the book. And several of them went and bought the original version instead of the D20 version. So they were like, that's not what our book says. And I said, your book is not this book. I told you to buy the D20 version. Well, yeah, but it looks the same. Except for that nice logo for the D20 system on the spine and on the cover. And all the rules in the book are completely different. Because Silver Age Sentinels was a really cool game based around 1960s level. You know, that, think comics from the 1960s. That right. is what this is sort of based upon. Those sorts of characters. The Golden Age was like the original 30s to 40s comics. This was like the heyday that came up in the 60s. And there's a few other ages since. And the modern age is considered basically from the 1990s to now. Right. But this is effectively... ever play City of Heroes? The MMO?
Yeah.
It's like that. I would say it's like Champions Online, but technically Champions Online... the MMO, is based on the tabletop role-playing game Champions. So, while this is similar to that, that's technically based on another tabletop role-playing game. One I right. don't own. But one thing I'll say that is kind of a trademark of most superhero games, Blood of Heroes and Silver Age Sentinels being two of them, is detailed character creators.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of powers, lots of stuff to do. You know, you can really make detailed characters in one book.
Right.
With the exception of one. I'll get to that game in a minute. The good thing about this version of Silver Age Sentinels, I can't speak towards the original version because I've never played or run it. But the D20 version was, and this is why I loved it so much, everybody understood it. If you'd played D&D 3.5, and at that point, everybody did, everybody had, and everybody was playing D&D 3.5, it was not only very well known, they had spawned the OGL, the open game license, which is still used today, but on different versions. Like, there's an OGL for 5.0, as I understand it. People can go out and make their own games using the rules of 5.0, the base rules, not the, specific to D&D rules. They can use the base OGL to make their own games if they wanted to. Well, back in 3.5... everybody was. It was a huge industry. I've got a bunch of different games that are D20 system or specifically, you know, listed as OGL Cyberpunk or OGL this or OGL that, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that made it so that you could walk in any basic tabletop role player, because the 3.5 was a very easy system to just jump into and get. You could just jump in, make a character, and bam, you're rolling. You know what you're doing. If you had played D&D at that point at all, basically pick up the book, make your character, bam, slap it out, gone, and you're playing. It was something everybody could just jump into, play, have fun, and it was good times.
Yeah.
Why this game didn't do better than it ever did, I don't know.
It's because superhero games have struggled.
Super niche.
Yes.
Which is weird, considering how big the Marvel movies are, and to some degree, the DC Extended Universe movies are.
And well, and hopefully that this, the resurgence in, you know, how well superhero movies have been doing will bring out more, or they'll bring highlights on existing tabletop superhero games.
Maybe.
Bring them, you know, back into popularity.
But it also could get oversaturated because, on an aside, you remember the old Valiant comics?
Yeah.
Movies, Sony's making movies based on them, and they start coming out later this year or in 2020. One of the two. So expect to be oversaturated with superhero movies.
Well, it's not just superhero movies. You know, you've got on Netflix, you've got all the different, you know, Defender characters.
Well, that haven't been canceled.
Yes, I know, but they did bring them out. And then they've got on CW, they've got the entire Arrowverse. Then they've got on several other shows, like Hulu has The Runaways, and there's The Punisher, and there's just
tons
of superhero titans.
Disney has their own streaming service, which is going to include Marvel. DC Universe has their streaming service that is all DC. And yeah, I get it. But it would be nice to see a resurgence. It'd be nice to see somebody, anybody, make a good Marvel role-playing game. Tabletop.
That would be nice.
But, yeah, I don't see it happening.
One thing I wanted to go back to is the character creators.
Uh-huh.
How in a lot of games, you didn't really have a whole lot to work with. So you'd end up with three people who wanted to play Batman, and they basically made Batman.
Yeah.
But now, with like Silver Age Sentinels, you can make, one person can make Batman. The next person would make something a lot more along the lines of like Rorschach, and somebody else would do something more along the lines of Moon Knight. They're all very similar characters. You know, they're all detectives. They're all, you know, beat people up, use gadgets, that sort of thing. But they're different characters entirely. They've got, you know, different backstories, different, you know, everything.
Right. It's kind of the difference between Superman and Captain Marvel, as in the Marvel or the DC version. He's DC. Shazam.
Yes.
They're now calling him Shazam because that's the word you use to activate it, but he was Captain Marvel. And back before the Marvel Captain Marvel, regardless, Shazam. Superman and Shazam are effectively the same. One is powered by sunlight. I guess that's right. Their current iteration. He was an alien, so he had alien abilities originally.
Well, no, he's always been powered by sunlight. It's just the red sun of Krypton kept, you know, him at a normal being, and then the yellow sun of Earth
unlocked
his abilities.
Right. And Shazam is supernatural.
Yes, all magical.
It's all based on magic. But for all intents and purposes, they don't both have laser beams for eyes, but one does lightning effects and whatnot. But they are effectively equal. They're both superpowered, can do way more than anybody else beings. And that's great. That's what you get from games like Silver Age Sentinels and Blood of Heroes. And, to some extent, this last game I wanted to mention, which is Heroes Unlimited. I don't own Heroes Unlimited, and there's a reason I don't own Heroes Unlimited. It's a Palladium Books game.
Right.
And I like Rifts or whatever, right?
It's Rifts.
I like some of their other games, but they're all the same system, and the system is broken, especially with Heroes Unlimited, because, yes, you get a core book that you can make various characters. It's a lot like Silver Age Sentinels in the ability to make pretty much any character you want to make, unless you want to have a martial artist, because it's got basic martial arts. No, it's kind of glossed over. They expect you to go and buy their martial arts book, the martial arts game for that, Ninjas and Super Spies, and use that as a source book for Heroes Unlimited. Oh, but if you want mutants or whatever, you can slap in your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in there. If you want this and that, and it ends up becoming this, all right, which book are these rules from? Because they're all the same system on the core, but in reality, oh my god, it becomes this jumbled mess. Because I can have somebody, and I've seen it, somebody make a Heroes Unlimited character for Rifts, and they broke out ninjas and super spies, and it gave them like 12 attacks around. And all this, and they're doing MDC damage because they were an MDC construct. With their basic hands, they could walk up to a Glitter Boy and tear it apart. That's a wee bit overpowered.
Yes, well,
and it's in the rules. Games
has been nothing but a blight on the gaming realm for a long time.
It doesn't have to be, though.
I like some of their ideas, but their system sucks.
Exactly. But they won't give up their system because that's that's the one core thing they have, is that's the Palladium system. And they think, oh, okay, this is our thing.
Blows.
Yeah. If Ciambietta and the others would actually develop a good core system that they could then make a Rifts 2, based out of that system. Or, and then you bring the other things into a more centralized and a system that actually works. Make a multi-genre system that isn't broken by the next book that gets kicked in, because the books say it's a multi-genre system, but it's tweaked for each individual game. Because Ninjas and Super Spies isn't supposed to be about punching, you know, robots' heads off. It's supposed to be about ninjas, super spies, you know, martial arts, and, you know, super spy gadgets and stuff. That's great. And it's powered for that. But then when you couple it in with something like Heroes Unlimited, or especially Rifts, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
And that's not going to work. So my point is, yeah, the genre is small. There's not a whole lot of big games in it, but some of the big games like Heroes Unlimited, oh boy, they're problematic. But some of these smaller games like, you know, Blood of Heroes and Silver Age Sentinels, especially the D20 version, if you can still find it, I would not give these up for the world. And if somebody said, hey, I want to play a superhero game, well, you want something more, you know, more of a detailed, rich environment, you know, lots and lots of stuff to work off of, which would be Blood of Heroes. Or do you want something where you sit down and play? Just sit down and everybody's going to grasp it pretty well. It's not perfect. It's got its flaws, but it works. That'd be your Silver Age Sentinels. I got both covered right there.
Yep.
And you can too. Just go find them. I'm sure they're out there somewhere.
More than likely you can get a PDF version.
I was just going to say, I'm almost certain you can find them on PDF. And
right through RPG.
Yeah. Not to give them a plug, but we'll plug them.
Why not?
But unlike last week, where we were stretching and really having a hard time getting things, you know, getting to the end, we're over today. So we should tie it up. Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, a few, but they'd put us way over, so yeah. No, I'm good.
This is definitely something we can revisit, because I was doing a whole genre as opposed to a specific game. Because one specific game just would be kind of dry.
Yeah.
I did that. Any thoughts on what you'd like to do next month?
Well, I still would like to talk about cyberpunk type game or Shadowrun. I'm not sure which.
All right. Well, that'd be something to look forward to in March then. So until next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you got this far. I'm impressed. Also, if you decided to play the drinking game, please get yourself to a hospital right away. No human should ever drink that much alcohol. If you actually enjoyed this travesty of a podcast, please drop by our website at scoreme.com, which could inspire a drinking game of its own.